Hi, I'm Nigel Baker, and you're listening to The Future Financial Advisor. We're running this podcast to create an avenue for advisors to share their thoughts and their best interests and really trying to attract those advisors who want to take the industry forward. What we want is great businesses who are really making a difference and really making a big impact to their clients, and we want to know how they're doing it. So in this series, we're going to be discussing the latest digital platforms, some best practices, evidence-based investing strategies. We want to give financial advisors the tools they need to help more investors improve their financial well-being. So if you're ready to take the industry forward, modernise your advisory practice and reach a new generation of investors and the new generation of advisors, then this show is for you.
So all our recordings and podcasts are general advice. All the content, all the people interviewing here, it's all their own opinions and all their own views. In no way does it constitute any personal advice or recommendations. If you need specific advice, please go and seek an advisor. Thanks very much. Hi and welcome to today's podcast. I've got Josh. Josh is one of our advisors in the team. Welcome, Josh.
Thanks, Nigel.
Thanks for joining the podcast. Great to have someone else from the team on here today. So today we're talking about Magellan, the fall from grace. And we're not here to, I suppose, put the boot in. We're just here to talk about, is this unusual? Like, is something like Magellan something that happens all the time? And as investors, should we sort of expect that? And is the media hype about it a little bit overdone? Because in our view, this happens all the time. So let's just talk about that for a bit, and then Josh is going to run through some scenarios we've seen with clients. But over the last 20 years, I've found the funds management industry to be quite fascinating. You know, these superstar managers come and go. There's been some in the US. Actually, one of the biggest ones in the US was Magellan as well, Peter Lynch, in the 90s. And then in Australia, we had guys like Chris Cuff and Kerr Nielsen. We've had lots of them, and they've been really, really good people, and a lot of them have put a lot back into the, you know, philanthropy and stuff like that. Mm. But at the end of the day, as investors, you know, have investors won? You know, and that's the question. So, you know, you've got really sophisticated investors, top fund managers, big institutions. We've had big institutions in Magellan. So these are smart people putting money into these fund managers. And then obviously your retail, your mums and dads also putting these managers, money into these, you know, star managers, the Platinums and the Magellans of the world. And, you know, some of these managers actually do outperform for a while. So, you know, it's justified. They do have some good numbers. We're not saying that they can't outperform. We're just looking at the data over time and saying, do they give investors the best chance of success over time? You know, what's going on here? Right? Let's understand it from an investment point of view. So I guess what we want to look at is, do these managers really have a secret? Like, do they have some little secret that we all don't have, so therefore we need them? You know, why as investors do we feel we need to chase these managers, driving those decisions in our heads? And at the end of the day, when we look at the stats, why do they nearly always fail? Like, when we look at the stats over 30, 40 years, none of these managers exist. So it's really fascinating. So if we go to step one, we're going to look at, you know, do they have a secret? And one of the things you'd like to sort of look at and say, well, if you had a group of active fund managers in a room and you asked 50 of them and said, look, you're the market, I'm going to ask all of them to say who's going to outperform. So there's 50 fund managers out of, and they're the only fund managers in the world. That's the whole market. And I ask the question and say, okay, they're all smart people. Who's going to outperform next year? And what happens? What do you think they do?
Everyone has a different answer.
Well, yeah, well, outperform, but who's going to outperform? How many of them do you think they will put their hand up?
All.
Yeah, everyone, because they have to. That's their job, right? So then you reframe and say, okay, you're all smart, but there's only 50 of you in the room and you've got one market. Obviously, statistically, you can't all outperform. So let's just ask the question again. How many of you are going to outperform? They all put their hand up again. Because none of them want to sit there and say, I'm going to be the one that underperforms. They know that someone has to, because every trade, there's a buy and sell, right? So if you and I are the only fund managers in the world, we're just trading against each other. And so if there's one circle, if I've got lower costs than you, then I'm probably going to beat you over 20, 30 years, just because we're trading against each other for 30 years. And we're probably going to zero each other out. Now, in a short period, a manager can outperform. That's what happens. And so what happens is, if that fund manager is outperforming, someone's got to be underperforming. It's just mathematics, right?
Yeah.
So there's always a buy and sell. And so if you take that onto the data, then you say, well, that's what's happened. Like, if you look at the data over 40, 50 years, it's exactly what's happened. You've seen all this pile of fund managers. A lot haven't survived. The ones that have survived, fewer and fewer have actually outperformed. So if we go to the Dow Bar on the Spiva site, which we can share in the links, it shows that over time, less than 10% of fund managers have actually outperformed. So when we bring that back to Magellan, we go, well, it's not Magellan's fault. This is really normal. Active fund managers don't tend to add value over time. That's just what happens. You can go, well, one is cost. So the first thing you look at is cost. High cost funds are likely to underperform over time, because we've got one circle and they're charging 1% and another manager's charging 0.2. Then over 20 years, it's a really, really high chance the fund manager charging 0.2 is going to beat the fund manager charging 1. So that's a given. So a lot of these active managers have high costs. But there's more than that. There's also a probability that that active manager is going to trade a lot. If they trade a lot, then they're going to have high costs, and also their after-tax returns are going to be affected because obviously capital gains and things like that. So again, we've got a high-cost manager. They've got to trade a bit more. The chances are sort of slimming of how their chances of success. Not saying they can't succeed, but their chances of success start getting lower and lower. And then we go into some other factors and go, okay, well, just by pure mathematics, a high-performing manager reverts to the mean. We see this in all parts of life, you know. A high-performing sporting team eventually comes back a bit. It's very rare that they stay number one forever. Then they can just have a bad quarter. They can just get a few things wrong, get a few stocks wrong. They can sell. So they do so well that they sell out, so they're gone. The fund manager retires. He's just had enough. He does it for 5-6 years. He's had his run. He's gone. Or, you know, sometimes they get too big, and so they've got so much money under management, it's just harder and harder for them to underperform. Now, the media's presenting, there's other reasons in Magellan's case, things going on perhaps that are distracting the key founder. But that aside, this underperformance was actually happening before, and it's really normal. You see this in almost every, you know, star manager over time. So the media is now attacking him about some other stuff going on, but really this is just a normal thing that happens to fund managers. They eventually the party's over. So when we look at the data, and again we look at really publicly available information, the data simply shows that for an active manager to outperform, the odds are just against them. And Magellan's just another example of that. It's not unusual. Like, it's actually really, really common. You just don't hear about it. There's thousands of fund managers out there that underperform every year, but that's just not really exciting. Like, the media don't want to talk about that. And so then I mentioned at the start about psychology. So why do we follow this? Why do we want this? And there's a Daniel Kahneman, who's written lots of books. He won a Nobel Prize for his research on behavioral economics. Really worth looking up his books. But he wrote, obviously won a Nobel Prize for it, for behavioral science and why we're wired as humans to make the wrong decision when it comes to investing. So we're not going to go into that today. That's sort of probably, weeks and weeks of podcasts. But it helps explain why these hot managers are chased. His research showed that we want to sort of chase these hot managers. We believe there's something there as investors. But when you look at all the data and there's less than 10% chance, it's simply not a bet worth taking. Like, the data's just there to say this isn't worth the risk. It's just not worth it for investors, advisors, institutions. And there's a much smarter way to invest. But you've been there with us for a couple of years. You've met lots of clients. And you've been there when clients have talked about, Magellan, for example. So, tell me a little bit about that. What normally happens?
Yeah, thanks, Nigel. Well, any new client that walks through the door, it's 9 in 10 chance that they hold a Magellan fund or share of some sort. And it seems to be that Magellan's just built this strong reputation and brand that clients just feel comfortable and reassured placing their money with them. But that just comes off the back of a great marketing campaign that Magellan's run over so many years. And I think at the end of the day, a good marketer doesn't necessarily make a good fund manager.
Yeah, it's a good point. The marketing is really powerful. And I remember being at the cricket a few years ago and seeing the Magellan signs everywhere and thinking, oh, who are these guys, and suddenly they were the flavour of the month. Why do you think it's really hard for that investor to, we might bring out the data and it's independent data that says, look, that fund manager hasn't performed that well. Well, how do clients react? Like, how does that go when we talk to clients about it?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a lot of disbelief because they've just got such a powerful brand and they're so big. They're a household name, really, Magellan, in the fund manager space, that people just don't believe the data. But at the end of the day, numbers don't lie.
Yeah, I think so. I think we often have that feeling that the client's looking at us going, so I see Magellan all through the papers and here I am talking to an advisor and you're telling me something different. So they've been wired to believe that they're all this data and we're showing them the facts. It's hard.
It doesn't align.
Yeah. So how do you think, if it was to happen again, you've now seen this cycle, you've seen that, you're probably even thinking, oh, I don't know why we're telling those clients Magellan's no good, when you first started, and now you've seen some of the data yourself. If the next fund manager comes along, how do you think you'd present that? And to other advisors out there who are sort of learning and going through this journey, how do you think to present that, to sort of build that trust of the client around some of this data? Because it can be a bit confronting and a bit awkward, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think it's an important case study, and it's a real-life example that you can present to a client in recent history that will prove to them that this is what happens when fund managers doesn't have a robust investment strategy and they're just relying on one person. This can happen.
Yeah. Yeah, true. I think, at the end of the day, we just want to do the right thing for clients. We don't really mind if it's Magellan or Platinum or whoever. We just want to make sure that the outcome is going to be really a high chance of success, and just going through some of that data, right? Yeah. Good, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think at the end of the day, in the long term, if a fund doesn't have a robust investment strategy and they just rely on one person or whatever it may be, they're not able to deliver consistent outperformance and reliable outperformance for a client. And at the end of the day, that's what we want to achieve.
Absolutely. And I think that'll be the challenge for Magellan now. Like when you lose that, if you sell it on the star manager, but the star manager's no longer there, what are they holding out to be?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Thanks, Josh.
Thanks, Nigel.
Thanks for coming on the podcast. Hope that was helpful. Make sure you leave comments, subscribe, and like. Thanks for listening in.
You've been listening to The Future Financial Advisor. So if you've been enjoying the show, please make sure to share it with your network and leave a review on your favorite listening platform. Or if you've got some ideas or thoughts or would like to come on as a guest or know someone who would be a great guest, then please let me know. To learn more about Scientium, just go to our website, scientium.com.au, or look me up on LinkedIn. Look forward to speaking with you and see you on the next episode.